Happy Monday to you and welcome back to the Drivecast. Thanks for investing this time today as you start your week, as you think about your personal or the vertical relationship with God. And we wrapped up the Song of Songs series this past weekend, where we're talking about every week how human love is this imperfect reflection of God's greater love. And in chapter 8, we talked about what this reality is like in terms of finishing well in marriage. What does it look like if the Lord allows you to live here on this earth and be married for, you know, 30 years, 40 years? What does a vision look like to finish that out and to finish that out well? And in Saul and Shuly's relationship, like, one of the things that we talked about is really important is that we avoid this kind of neutral corner marriage, right? We talked about, like, when a boxer knocks another fighter down, you know, they have to go to the neutral corner. And a lot of times what ends up happening is that married people over time, once they get through, you know, raising kids and they lose a little bit of energy and they stop investing, serving, you know, they stop listening to one another and they just kind of coexist with this weird distance where they become roommates more than married people, right? It's, you know, they just live in neutral corners, right? It's hard to separate the assets. Like, they think about, what would the grandkids think if we split up? Or, you know, the idea of dating would be horrific, or you don't want to be alone, right? And we just don't see this with Solomon and the Shulamite woman. Like, they have this posture of still dancing, right, together with one another. They have this posture of investment in younger people. And I would just say, if you're listening and you are a younger married couple, man, it's just so important to have people who are older than you that you can talk to, both when you need to and then on some sort of regular basis, maybe an annual basis or maybe a couple of times a year. It's not that you can't figure it all out on your own. You can, but you're going to figure it out the hard way. Right. Some people, some married people who've been around 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, even 50 years, right? They've kind of paid the dumb tax on a lot of these bad decisions. And you can learn from that, right? You don't have to pay for that. And she references, Shuly does in verse 5, like, you know, she's leaning on her beloved, right? So she's older, she's maybe unrecognizable, like, she asks it in the form of a question, like, who is this coming up from the wilderness? And I just think that's a tie to, you know, 2 Corinthians 4:16, or at least a reference to it, you know, where Paul says we don't lose heart. Like, this does not make us lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Like, we know this is coming, but we also know that we can grow more on the inside than we are going to deteriorate on the outside. And so what, you know, Shuly really communicates so much in this chapter is this idea, like, we were born for one another. And I just think there's this balance when you're a single person and you're looking, like, there's this balance between I'm going to find the person who's out there for me, and it's not needle in a haystack, right? That God is sovereign and I'm responsible, that single people approach life kind of that 1 Corinthians 7 idea where Paul says, hey, Corinthians, marry in the Lord, right? So when we're single, what we really need is a godly silhouette. Like, we know the kind of Christian, the kind of believer, right, that we're looking for out there. And you know, in the next verse, she sets the example for that, really. She says, listen, maybe they've been married, I don't know, 30 years, I don't know, 40 years, I don't know how long they were married at this point. But she says, listen, set me as a seal upon your heart, right? She is so jealous. She says, jealousy is as fierce as the grave. She's like, then nobody is going to take my man, right? She says, it's relentless as death, right? Which we know death, right, is coming for all of us. I like how she phrases. She's like, listen, floods can't drown this kind of love. If a man gave money for this kind of love, she said, he would be utterly despised. In other words, people value this kind of old, long-term love so much that they would hate someone in their community for doing that. She references back to the beginning of the book where, you know, her brothers made her serve out in the family vineyard. But now she finishes that story here, and you realize that they were really tenants in a vineyard that Solomon owned. So it makes a lot of sense how they met one another. And I just thought it was a great reminder of the parable of the vineyard owner that Jesus tells in the Gospels right before he goes to the cross, where the tenants, they treated the messengers terribly. Eventually, they murder the son. And the idea from that parable is that obviously Jesus is the son and God the Father is the vineyard owner, right? And it's a reminder to us that, you know, we tend to want the blessing of the kingdom without the authority of the king, right? We want God's blessing in our dating and engaged in marital relationships while simultaneously saying we want to do it our way. So in trying to untangle all this, I think it's important that we reference back to this idea that having wisdom and applying wisdom are altogether different, right? Solomon had, you know, 1,000 women in his life. And I think this is a compare contrast in the Song of Songs. And I think he's saying now as an old man, I wish I would have just had you. I wish I would have tried not to do it my way. He says, I want to sit down. I want to hear your voice. I don't want 999 other women. That was so dumb, right? I just want one. And you know, I think Solomon at this point in his life is like, man, I'd hear it. Now, I could just tell you there's a lot of times in 20 years plus of pastoring here at LifePoint that ladies have come in with and without their spouse. And they've said this same thing in a variety of different words and phrases. But the idea is he just doesn't listen. He never listens. And Solomon here, the oldest, wisest, best version of Solomon says, man, I'd like to listen. They end the book. She says, make haste, be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountain of spices. And I just said, you know, I've got this vision for when I get older. If God allows me to live to an older age, and Angie as well, and there are going to be some tough moments in that as we age and our bodies change and all those things. But some moments in rocking chairs on porches, lots of Bible reading, thinking, serving in a local church. Hopefully Angie still calls me young stag, right? Because my male ego is so fragile. But I am reminded that it wasn't always like that. You know, Angie and I were in seminary when we got married. We didn't get any premarital counseling. We did pretty good for the first year and a half, but then it wasn't so good for a minute. And I was internally angry, passive aggressive, and it all just came out at one point. And so we went and got some help. And in some ways, that was the beginning of this vision that I have for when I'm 70, 80, whoever, you know, who knows how long I'll live. So if you're struggling, and church our size on a Sunday morning, there's going to be people who are struggling, like have some talks, get some help, see a counselor. We're happy to recommend somebody. We're blessed. We've got a good list. But I'll also say that counselors will give you great tools, but those tools have to be undergirded by a gospel foundation. So you cannot shortcut a gospel foundation for your marriage. It's like trying to use a power tool without an outlet, right? The gospel is what gives us the power to change, what gives us the power to humble ourselves. If not, we'll lack the humility for a lifelong marriage vision. So don't settle for neutral corners. Don't settle for becoming roommates. God has covenanted us together for something better. Jesus died on a cross to transform us into something better. This human love is just an imperfect reflection of God's greater love. And so it starts with Him. It starts with repenting and believing and trusting. So I'm going to pray that into our day and then give you the opportunity to pray. God, we're grateful for this book and what you've taught us through it. And Lord, we want to start our day and our week with repenting, believing, and trusting. And the gospel, Lord, has made all the difference in us. Where would we be without you? And so, Lord, our attitude today is to come to you, to lay our lives down in front of you, to say that we're imperfect individually, to ask you to empower us to do and to become the things that we can't do on our own. Make our single lives beautiful. Make our marriage covenants beautiful, all for the sake of your glory. Now you take the opportunity to pray.